There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's a brand new week and you're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, supernatural news correspondent, Tim Dennis. Hey, Tim, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right.
Well, that's good. You sound resilient and bubbly.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
You're a man of many words. I like that. Let's mention this up front real quickly. Our show today is being brought to you by Audible, an Amazon company where Audible will give you over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial by visiting www.audibletrial.com/darkness. And because I know our good friend Susan Cummins is in this evening, I made sure to reach out to our advertiser, BarkBox, Tim. BarkBox, Paw picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs. Today's show is brought to you by BarkBox.com. You can get one extra free month of BarkBox by going to getbarkbox.com/darkness. I don't know if people are picking up on the trend, but a lot of these websites, when you go there, you got to then put /darkness, and that'll show them that you're hearing about it on our show, and that helps to support us and keep you going. So again, those are our advertisers for the day. Supernatural News, Parashare Monday. We also have a book review. It's been a while since she's been with us, but Susan Cummins will be joining us in a few moments. What did you want to share with us, Tim?
I got one big promo for you.
What?
This Saturday, Mounds Theater.
Yeah.
I will be there once again, your vice president and ring announcer for April Assault, Dave. It's the big IWI card out there at the Mounds Theater. 6:45 is when doors open. 7:30 is bell time. You can get your VIP tickets and your general admission tickets at moundstheater.org.
That's right. If you love wrestling and you love Timmy D, make sure you come on out and enjoy that. And then on your way home, make sure to turn on Coast to Coast AM, because I will be hosting, sitting in for George Norrie this weekend. And I hope you'll check that out from midnight till 4 a.m. Saturday, late night, early Sunday morning. And if you want to find out stations and times in your area, check out coasttocoastam.com/stations. Or you can always stream it live from our home station here, KNSIRadio.com. This is what's on tap for us this week, Tim. We're back with our final installment in this 3-episode series arc of True Crime Tuesday. And you guys are doing great. We are getting tons of downloads of the show. I think, Tim, I think we might be back within a month full time with a True Crime Tuesday show on top of the 5-day a week Best in Paranormal Talk Radio.
Really?
Right. So not only do you get Monday through Friday of Paranormal Talk, but on Tuesdays, you may get an additional show of True Crime Tuesday.
Because I've had a lot of people jumping the gun saying congratulations, and I went, not yet.
Not yet. We get to do this 3-week trial. Tomorrow is our third and final installment in that. We do have Dumb Crimes and Stupid Criminals on tap, but tomorrow, cults, inside out, how people get in, and how they get out. It almost sounds like a Dr. Seuss cult book, doesn't it?
It does.
Then on Wednesday, Timothy P. Smith joins us. The Chamberlain Key, unlocking these amazing hidden codes to divine messages and treasures within the Bible, Tim.
Ooh.
And we've heard some interesting aspects of that in the past, but I think this guy is really on to something spectacular. So we're going to talk with Timothy P. Smith on Wednesday. Thursday, got to get back in time. Andrew Bisciago, the time traveler
from
Project Pegasus, is going to join us. He'll also be a presidential candidate in 2020. And I think a lot of people are going to be thinking a time traveler in 2020 just might be what the world needs, Tim.
Now, he knows that Trump is already running in 2020, right?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He's a time traveler. What does that tell you? Maybe he knows why he needs to run again in 2020.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, Andrew Bisciago is going to be here. We're going to find out a little bit about his work in time travel, his Mars exploration. I know people are rolling their eyes right now, but this is one of the more fascinating guests we've ever had on our show. And he has uncovered three new guests that will corroborate his story. As a matter of fact, they're going to join us on Thursday as well. And then Friday, Ursula Bielski will be joining us. Her book coming out later this year, The Ghost in You, Poltergeists, Electrokinesis, and Phantasms of the Living. That's on Friday, along with a brand new episode of Theater of the Mind. It'll all be up and ready for you. That's the look at this week, and I hope you'll check that out. And remember, you get that bonus night with me, your pal Darkness Dave, when I host Coast to Coast AM on Saturday. All right, we have supernatural news to begin the show with. We also have some book reviews, but before we get into her official work here as a book review artist, we're going to just invite her into the show to share some of the supernatural news as it seems to play out every week. Our good friend Susan Cummins. Hey, Susan, welcome.
I've missed you guys.
Well, we've missed you too, and you've got a new book you're going to review for us in a little bit?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be talking about that. Supernatural news is coming up, so we'll let Timmy do his deal and riff on the weird news of the past week. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
All right, Mr. Dennis, where shall we begin tonight's journey?
I'm not ready. This is too controversial.
What is it, Tim?
It's not only an international incident, Dave. Uh-huh. It's a supernatural incident.
What?
I can't take it.
Tim, that's what you're here for.
We're crossing international and spiritual boundaries.
That's okay, Tim. Walter Cronkite wouldn't handle it. Dan Rather backed out.
Right.
So we got to leave it up to the one man that America can trust, Tim.
Who?
You.
Oh,
you, of course.
Me?
Yeah. So what's the story?
Tim? Oh, we're all screwed.
Yeah.
Well,
there's some truth to that.
More than you know.
All right.
A man has been charged with witchcraft, extortion, and fraud in Toronto, Canada, after he charged $101,000, to be exact.
Ooh, it was that extra one that really screwed him up.
It really was, yeah. To remove an evil spirit.
$101,000.
Wow.
Could be a deal. It depends on how bad this evil spirit is.
Well, evidently pretty bad.
Okay.
Master Rogoff is what he goes to. Yeah.
You go blind, son.
Well, you can.
Oh, Master Rogoff. Okay.
You don't want to rog off in public an extra $101,000 fine. Evidently, that's what he needed the money for. Real name is, forgive me as I try to pronounce this, Murali. I believe it is Muthialu. I think I nailed it.
Mirari.
Good attempt.
Murali.
Uh-huh.
Muthialu.
Okay.
From India. Was arrested on Wednesday and appeared in court on Thursday after a man he scammed reported him to the police. Muthialu.
Okay, just move on.
Yep. I want to nail this, Dave. I want to get it right for my peeps in India.
Nail the man in your own time. Let's just get to the story.
He's going to be in jail for a long time. I want to get him broken in properly. Advertised his services as a psychic and astrologer at the Sri Gayatri Astrological. There we go. Center. That's the one I'm having problems with, Dave. In Toronto, promising that he removes black magic evil spirit. That's in quotes.
Mm.
And has a 100% guarantee of success.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good guarantee.
And did it work? That's the question. Well, did it work?
Well, that's the corner we're turning here.
Okay.
An unidentified 44-year-old man visited Muthialu and was told that his sick family member had been the victim of an evil spirit and that Muthialu could remove it. So actually, it's a lure, Toronto Constable. Oh my gosh, she's got an even better name. I don't know. I'm just going by the last name of Sidhu.
Okay. Constable Sidhu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Told Global News. He sets up an appointment and meets this man for just $20. That's the introductory offer.
Sure.
Dave. That's the one that's going to get you.
I get $20.
And
I can afford that.
And then it jumps to $101,000.
No, but exactly. If it's a good enough price, I don't know. Well, you know, what was everybody else offering?
Well.
All right. So $20 to get you in the door.
That's the initial psychic
that's
greeting.
That's the rub. Uh-huh.
Just a $20 bill.
Okay.
After that, the victim then brought his daughter, who is suffering with a mental illness, to Mithalyu for healing lessons, or sessions, rather. They're not lessons.
Right.
The lesson is you're going to pay another $980. Police say he visited Muthyalu at least 10 times each time. And why did I go Christopher Walken on the deal there? I don't know. Muthyalu each time paying greater amounts of money for the sessions to remove the evil spirit. Muthyalu charged his victim $101,000 in total. The healings performed by Muthyalu.
Wait, so what was he saying, that the daughter was inflicted with an evil spirit and
which created the mental illness?
The healings performed by the by Muthyalu were not successful. Surprise, surprise. And the man reported the incident to police. If it's your family member, you'll do anything for them, Sidhu said. She is still sick. That's safe to say. She was sick prior, and she's still sick. Surprise, surprise.
Oh.
The charge of witchcraft is defined as anyone who pretends to exercise or use any kind of witchcraft, sorcery, enchantment, or conjuration. I believe that was in the Mary J. Blige tune produced by Dr. Ray, Dr. Dre. Yeah, it's
I always
no
get
hateration.
A lot of conjuration after I ate a cheese sandwich, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
no hateration.
For weeks.
Yeah, no hateration, holleration, or conjuration, Dave. Yeah. And is punishable by up to 6 months in jail. Muthyalu is also facing charges of fraud and extortion on the whole.
But he wasn't willing to give the money back? I mean, if it was 100% guarantee, wouldn't you just give the cash back and all charges dropped? Because you tried.
Well,
he was willing to try.
Maybe it's an ongoing process.
He tried
process.
To deliver and somebody paid for it. He's offering a service.
Yeah.
Somebody paid for it. Yeah. You know, did he guarantee? I think that's what, I don't know.
He did guarantee.
Yeah.
But yeah. Is it the money coming back?
Well, it's
I need you to dig into this deeper, Tim. I'm going to send you to Toronto.
Still have
witchcraft, you know, on the
witchcraft
books.
On the books in Toronto. That's the question.
What if he gets me, though? What if he says, Timothy, there's a
demon in your foot?
Yeah. And I'm going to need $102,000.
Well, I say you spend it and see if it works, and then you worry about the rest afterwards, Tim.
I ain't got that kind of cash.
Man,
Dave.
Not with that attitude.
No.
All right, what's your next
Just
story
don't.
For us?
Two sleepy British towns or UK towns are named among the best places on the planet to go UFO spotting.
Really?
Ooh.
That's a part of Train Spotting too, I believe.
No,
I haven't
not
seen
at
the
all.
Movie yet,
not
but I believe
all.
That is part
totally
of the movie.
Different thing.
Including a Scottish village, which is twinned with Roswell.
Really?
Oh, you know, I'm going to be there in May. Tell me.
Where, Roswell?
No, where the Scottish village is.
Okay.
Really?
Where is it?
Yes.
And what's going on?
Warminster in Wiltshire and Bonnybridge near Falkirk are both famed for their paranormal incidents.
Is that Bonnybridge or Bonnybridge?
It says Bonnybridge.
Okay, Bonnybridge. Yeah.
Bonnybridge near Falkirk. Two British towns have been named by a top travel guide as among the best places on the planet to meet an alien. So if you're out to date an alien, these are the places you want to meet them.
Alienmeetup.com.
Well, I think after a few beers, you know, after a while, they can be alien to you.
Yeah, well.
Oh, you know.
Ach, back to the lock with you, Nessie.
They come with probes, evidently.
Wow.
So, you know, they come.
It's a good night out, you know, in the Highlands.
They come ready.
With probes.
Or they
That's not an
out.
Alien, you idiot. It's a Harry Q.
Or Harry something. Warminster in southwest England and Scotland's Bonnybridge have become hot spots for UFO sightings after a series of bizarre incidences. Isn't that how they say it?
Yeah. Special effects on this show. Unbelievable. The budget we have.
I spare no expense. The country town of Warminster has become a paranormal sensation in the 1960s and is placed fifth on the guide by travel experts Wanderlust.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we all have a little bit from time to time? In 1965, the Southwest community was rooked by... Rocked. I'm getting used to these here bifocals.
Was it rooked and rolled?
Rooked and rolled by reports of mysterious noises and unexplained sightings in the night skies. On August 17th of that year, a supposed detonation noise.
I'm
still
you
getting
You are definitely
the,
channeling Walken today.
I am, yeah.
Are you the Walken Dead?
I am the
See what
walking,
I did there? Magoo, you've done it again.
I see what you've done. Mm-hmm. Shook homes in a housing estate in the Wiltshire town before a monstrous orange flame was seen in the sky. Crackling and hissing, reports the Express. The terrifying incident known as the Warminster Thing, because evidently they weren't too creative that day.
It's a lot of drinking that night. Yeah. What is this? It's a thing. I'll go with it.
And it was lots of beans in the morning. You know they have beans with everything in the morning. Yeah, that's the sounds.
The seven foot tall flame in the air.
Methane leak that they had there.
Makes for a great afternoon, evidently, if you started out with beans in the morning.
Why not?
Transformed the town from a sleepy country community into a very loud community in the afternoon. Actually, into a world leader in UFO sightings. Bonnie Bridge, just outside Falkirk, is famed for sightings and is officially twinned with Roswell in New Mexico, the site of the famous alleged flying... Why is it alleged now? Flying saucer crash in 1947.
Because there's still no proof. We don't have photographic evidence. We don't have pieces of the UFO, so it's still alleged.
We have Jackie Gleason, Dave. We have Jackie Gleason.
No, we don't. He's gone.
I thought
he's
they
gone.
Had pieces of the UFO.
There was at one point, but they vanished because they had to be turned in.
Oh.
Didn't we have Jackie Marcel Jr.?
Yeah, but he's gone too.
I see.
And it died with him.
I'm going to pour a little of my apple juice out on the board here from Jackie Marcel Jr. Well, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Jackie Marcel Jr.
That's Jackie Gleason.
That was a comedian you saw, I think. All right.
He was very funny, though. Yeah. The mysterious village, which I got them mixed up. I'm a little confused. The mysterious village, which is placed eighth in the meeting an alien guide. That's what it says here. Meet an alien guide forms part of the Falkirk Triangle. How reliable can this guide actually be?
I don't know.
An area stretching from Stirling to the outskirts of Edinburgh.
I'm going.
Did I do that right?
I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring back evidence of an alien.
Please do, Susan.
I am.
I would like to see that. Someone's got to bring it back.
I'm going to bring it back.
Evidently... Mr. There's No Aliens Over Here says there are none. So it's up to you.
It's on my to-do list.
All right. Alien enthusiasts claim that Bonnie Bridge is the world's number one UFO location with an average of around 300 sightings a year, according to government stats. To those who believe the truth is out there, Wanderlust does also point out that police believe alcohol may have been a factor in some of those sightings.
What a surprise.
I was going to say,
So, Susan, get good and loaded.
Can I explain to that thing up there? I think it's a UFO.
Oh, I'm telling you, a few whiskeys and that's what I'm going to be seeing.
Yeah, a little whiskey, a little Guinness, and plenty of beans. And you
lots
too.
Of beans in the morning, and you'll hear things.
There you go. In 1992, a local man named James Walker reported seeing a star-shaped object hovering in the skies above the town.
Turns out it was just a star, and he was drunk.
It was a star.
Do you see that out there, Susan? Looks like a star-shaped object to me. It just keeps hovering above my head.
It's spying on me now.
This legendary incident was first known sighting in Bonnie Bridge and sparked UFO fever in the community. And why wouldn't it? Numerous other sightings prompted a local government investigation. Taking top spot. I don't know why I'm yelling that, but
I
did. Taking top spot on Wanderlust Guide is the iconic Area 51 in Nevada, where the U.S. government has been testing and developing secret aircrafts for decades. Second place went to the Nullarbor in Australia, followed by the M Triangle in Russia, and Roswell coming in at number four in New Mexico. I feel like I should be doing some sort of countdown here, but that's how that shapes up. So there you go.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Have you got another story for us?
I do.
What have you got?
Let's see here. Let's go to the next story. Let's get rid of that one and that one. And for some reason, they're doubling up on me here. A medium has made a shocking claim over a house so haunted. How haunted was it?
How haunted was it, Tim?
Police evacuated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's pretty haunted.
Yeah, that is haunted.
That is haunted. A medium has made a
you
shocking...
You mean the people didn't leave on their own?
No.
They had to be evacuated?
Mm-hmm. They had to be evacuated.
Okay, that's sad.
A medium has made a shocking revelation about... revelation, Dave and Susan, about a house that... I don't know why I'm doing that. About a house that police were forced to evacuate due to paranormal activities... Vanessa Danch visited the house in Puerto Montt in Chile to discover if a poltergeist was responsible for reports of flying objects. The property had shot to fame around the world after video showed cupboards opening by themselves and objects moving. Police officers.
Those police.
Pardon me while I take another drink.
Suffering fuckadash.
But I love there's how people stayed about. Around to videotape. Mm-hmm. The police had to escort them out.
Well, you got to get the evidence.
Yeah. I guess.
First you get the evidence, then you get the money, and then... Wasn't that a quote from Scarface?
No, I don't know.
Police officers were called to the house by the residents who originally claimed it was on fire before revealing the scary secret. Mm-hmm. And some of the police claimed they were attacked by a knife that jumped out of nowhere.
God, I hate when knives are attacking you out of nowhere.
Oh, well, yeah. Dang. In a surprising way, a spatula fell. There were several broken glasses, mattresses outside. Corporal Olivaria of the 6th Police Station told the local media, when I called the devil to leave the place, hello, devil? I'd be very grateful.
What is that number, and can I call him?
It's a 666.
Okay, there you go. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's on your phone.
Next to 911.
Yes, it is. I was going out the front door. I felt the knife that grazed my back, but I had a bulletproof vest, he added. The terrified occupants were offered somewhere to stay, but the local authorities, in light of the... By the authorities, in light of the apparent haunting, I don't know how that line exactly went, but Danch is part of the Chilean show Mucho Gusto, available on Telemundo everywhere.
Mm. Oh, it's on Mucho Gusto.
Mucho Gusto.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that as Senor Wences, but I declined. decided to investigate and claims all was not what it seemed. She said, we went to the house. We arrived with the equipment. At first, I saw things fly, but then there were things that did not match. When we set the cameras, nothing happened. Uh-oh. When there was no camera, then things moved.
Of course. Yeah. You didn't see it, but it mm-hmm. happened.
But
yes.
It did happen.
Yes.
When we went to investigate a paranormal case, and in the end, we discovered that it was not such, that it was a trick that mobilized all of Chile. But she claimed that there was still an entity in the house. So there you go.
Of course, nothing happened, but there's something still there.
Right. Sure. There's still paranormal activity.
Makes sense. Doesn't always show up when we want it
That's
to.
That's true.
No.
They don't play on command.
The right to afterlifers have really put together a nice nice little commission for them. They have to, you got to pay through the nose to get spirits to work for you.
Well, yeah.
You know, they don't have a union. There needs to be a ghost union.
Well, yeah, that's why you should join me. I'm going to be out at the Oddfellows Asylum in Liberty, Missouri this July.
I'm going to be there.
We're
I'm
going
excited.
To be out there investigating. I'll be out there with Chris Fleming, Bill Chappell, and we're going to have a whole weekend of great presentations and hands-on interactive ghost hunt sessions in one of the coolest locations I've had to be out there. Plus, did I mention it's an active winery, Susan.
Well, I'm thinking the wine is going to make things more active
things
for me
lot,
and
yeah.
see things. I
well,
usually see things after a bottle or two, but you
guys
know.
See anything? Just Susan dancing on the tabletops, but that's good
and you
enough
know what?
For most.
That's free. So if people come out, I will dance on the tabletops.
And those orbs are real.
And
all right.
They are. And I'll tell you, I have investigated with Chris and Bill and Dave, and it is so much fun, and we get so much evidence. I'm excited.
Yeah, tickets are available right now at darknessevents.com. So stop sitting on the sidelines wondering what it'd be like. Yeah, come on out and play with us and be a part of darknessevents.com. And you click on the Oddfellows Asylum banner to get more information about that.
And it's an asylum.
And for those of you that want to stretch your legs and check out the rest of the world, I'll be going back to England in August for our first wave British invasion. And we're going to investigate haunted castles and prisons. And we get a chance to see some of the most amazing locations. We'll follow the trail of Jack the Ripper, Dracula, Robin Hood, and Harry Potter. That's right. We're going to have a stop at Harry Potter's castle. Or not castle, but Hogwarts while we're out there. So you get a chance to see and experience a lot of cool stuff. And tickets are still on sale for that. We're already half sold out. We'd love for you to join us this August. September sold out in 18 hours. We're half sold out for our August event. So check out darknessevents.com for more information on ways to see us. All right, Tim, have you got one more quick story for us before we do some book review?
I do.
Okay.
Ghost hunters have discovered the spirit of an Egyptian woman in a spooky picture.
No?
No.
I just got what you were whistling.
Yeah,
well, take a picture like an Egyptian.
Yeah, well, take a picture like an Egyptian.
No, take a picture of an Egyptian.
No, I don't think that's it either.
No. I'm trying. Yeah, dang.
Well, memory, huh? Cocaine's a hell of a drug. All right, Tim, what have we got?
Share with us about the Egyptian woman.
Well, ghost hunters have captured the chilling moment when they came face to face with the spirit of an Egyptian woman after spending the night at a haunted museum. And no, it's not a Ben Stiller movie.
Thank God.
Yeah. I second that.
Is it the Tom Cruise movie?
No.
That's coming out this year, The New Mummy.
I know.
I think it looks good, although it looks like Mission Impossible meets the Mummy.
Watch the trailer like four times back to back. You'll see how bad the CGI is.
Wow, you are in.
But wait a minute. Is it a remake of the original Mummy?
No, it's a whole new story. It's a female mummy.
Yeah.
It's a mommy mummy.
It's a mommy mummy.
Oh, he's going to have a relationship with the mommy.
We can only hope.
I'd
pay big money to watch Tom Cruise do that.
Do you think she'll get lost in the whole Scientology thing?
Could be, eventually.
We'll never hear from her.
I just can't wait for him to start singing, "You lost that love and feeling."
Good God.
Yeah. Psychic investigator Silent Voices shared the spooky picture showing what looks like the outline of a woman's face appearing out of nowhere. The team caught wind of spooky happenings at the Torquay Museum in Devon, which houses the mummified remains of an Egyptian child. They decided to investigate. Why? Well, because they had nothing better going on, but they're also investigators. But were shocked by what they saw. Jay Daly from Silent Voices said, "It is the clearest image we have ever seen, and it's caused a stir through our Facebook page and on the net where we have posted it."
But how do they know that it's an Egyptian woman?
Because it was walking with its arms like this.
That's what I'm wondering. I can't see it from here, but, you know, she... Yeah.
She showed up with a recording of King Tut by Steve Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim, you can see it. Does she look...
King Tut.
Boo-dum.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just assuming because they took it near the body. They're guessing that it must be an Egyptian ghost.
Yeah, but they said it was a child.
Well, yeah, it's probably small in stature.
Well, maybe it's the child's mummy.
According to Jay, he says the facial features are so clear and note the clothing and cupping hand bottom right.
Yes.
She's cupping her bottom right?
No. A cupping hand bottom right. Oh. So she had her hand on her bottom right. Mm-hmm. And
that's what I thought
upon
you said.
Her with their dipshy dip we dip.
Yep. And evidently she likes big butts and she cannot lie.
So is that an Egyptian move? I'm still trying to figure out how to. Right. Yeah, it must be. Okay.
This figure was not visible to the eye when taken, he said. The footage was captured during an event being run at the museum. So obviously, Susan, because it was at a museum and she was cupping her butt, it was Egyptian.
She's an Egyptian.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Investigator Ryan decided to wander off on his own and take some pictures and didn't even initially realize he had encountered the woman. The apparition was not visible to the naked eye, but showed up the next day when Ryan and the team were reviewing the images taken on a full spectrum camera. Jay added he took lots of photos and did not see the image until the next day as he was reviewing them because he's a good investigator
like that.
Yeah. But if he would have seen it at the time, he would be yelling, "Hey, there's an Egyptian woman over here."
And she's cupping a butt.
She's cupping things.
That's the language. That's the accent. All right.
It is, yeah.
I don't know why.
He's from the Bronx.
He's from the Bronx. So
All right, Tim.
Silent Voices organize and hold ghost hunting events at venues across the Southwest. The group describes himself as committed to the research of the paranormal by investigating some of Britain's most haunted locations. It comes after chilling paranormal footage recorded by security guards at a morgue discovered something horrifying. So there you go.
Well, that happens. Yeah. All right, Tim, it's team.
It's time now
for a little refinery. Shall we begin, Tim?
Let's begin.
It's time to welcome our book critic and cunning linguist of culture, refinement, and stories that will make your skin crawl. Live from the tower we keep her locked in, Susan Cumming.
Hey, that's you.
That's me, and I've always loved that intro.
Very cool. So you've got a book that you're going to review for us. And you think this is going to hit our audience, right? Because we're all about exploration of alien possibilities.
Yes. And you know, we were just talking about, you know, space and aliens and Egyptians. There's
the
no Egyptians
frontier.
In it, but you know. But what I loved about it is
what's the name of the book?
Okay, so first of all, it's by a wonderful man by the name of John Nance, and a lot of people might know him because he was sort of made famous on Good Morning America. He is the guy that they talk to when there's plane crashes.
Oh, okay.
He's very prolific, written lots of books. And this one sort of grabbed me. Of course, the name was fabulous. It's called Orbit, right?
Okay.
So Orbit is about this man by the name of Kip Dawson. And Kip wins a plane ticket or a seat on a sort of exploration type of outing. You know how they've got – is it who is it that's selling $250,000 seats now to go into space?
Richard Branson.
Yes, isn't that – okay. Well, it's similar to that, and he wins one of these seats.
I've got the golden ticket.
He wins the golden ticket. Right. He's so excited about it, but his family doesn't want him to go. Him and his wife have a rift. They separate, but he's still going to go because he's thinking this is his chance to do something really great.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes thinking he'll just patch things up. His wife will see how cool it is when I get home, and all will be well. Unfortunately, as you know, things don't always go well.
No.
And there was some space debris that shoots through the cabin, kills the pilot, kills everything that, you know, he can communicate on. And he's stuck and he's thinking, this is it. I'm going to die.
This is Major Tom to ground control.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so he starts to type his memoir, thinking if it's ever found that somebody will, you know, read it. See how heroic he was, but he writes about his you know, pain and loss with the separation of his wife. But everybody on Earth knows what's going on and they're paying attention and they're following along with him.
Also, kind of like the Truman Show. He doesn't realize he's being...
He has no idea.
Experienced through this.
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
Yep. So it really, it's really a lovely sort of what do you go through when you're faced with... your ending without sort of closure with other things in your life and family and loved ones and that fear of just that unknown and how it's all going to end. I won't tell you how it ends, but it's really a lovely read.
I
enjoyed it.
The butler did it, Tim.
And the butler
what?
Did it, yes, with a candlestick in the back of
the
XY
space modulator.
It's kind of kinky if you think about it.
So, all right, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1, it sucks. 5, it's the best book you've ever read. Where do you put this one?
Well, I can't say it's the best book I've ever read, but I would say, you know, it's a good 3.5.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, which is very good. It's a nice read. It will... If you're romantic, you're going to like it because, you know, that love portion of it where, you know, he spills his heart out. If you like space exploration, you're going to love it, that adventure.
So there's sci-fi, there's romance, there's deep thought. Good book.
Yeah, it's a good book.
And what's it called again? Orbit?
It's called Orbit by John Nance. And you can upload it on Audible.
We'll be back. We've got more supernatural news and Parashare on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
All right, we're back. This is Supernatural News Parashare Monday. I'm your host, Dave. That's Tim. Tim, you've got a couple more news stories for us, don't you?
Sure.
All right. Not sure that you have them or
no,
what?
No, I got them in front of me.
All right, well, let's get to them, son. That's your job. And then we'll do a little Parashare here in a bit. What's your next story?
Well, Dave, we can go scary, scarier, or scariest.
Let's amp it up. Let's just go scary.
Okay. A DNA test could solve the Nessie mystery at last. A DNA test, Dave.
Is this on Maury?
No.
Nessie, you are the father.
There's no Maury involved, unfortunately, because okay. I would watch that episode.
Yeah.
And I would report in personally. I'm a big fan of Maury, Dave. I don't know if you know that or not.
That's one of us.
I watch faithfully every day.
I know.
4 o'clock.
All right.
Me and my Kool-Aid. Scientists are going to test the waters at the lock for unusual traces in a bid to solve the monster mystery. I'll give you 3 guesses as to what's in the water that they're testing for.
Drugs?
No.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Drugs?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't know.
Well, let's just say it's probably fluid.
What?
A scientist is to DNA test the waters of Loch Ness in another bid to determine once and for all if Nessie exists. Professor Neil Gemmel will look for traces of unusual DNA by gathering water samples from the Scottish Loch before analyzing them using police forensic techniques. Scary. Professor Gemmel of New Zealand's University of Otago thinks this could solve the monster mystery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it makes sense, I guess, if you're picking up what he's putting down. If there's something that large, it would leave DNA tracings, right? Food bits.
Of some sort.
Yeah, scales.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He said, we use environmental DNA to monitor marine biodiversity. From a few liters of water, we can detect thousands of species. Mm. Think about that before you... take a drink out of the loch.
I don't think anybody drinks out of the loch.
I think maybe a few might. No. They're thirsty enough. They've been hiking for a while. You know, you get a little thirst going. You figure this is pure water from the loch, Dave.
Nope.
I must get some Scotland in me.
No, when you see how dark and creepy murky that water is, I don't think anybody's looking at it and going, I'd like a cool, refreshing sip of that.
I need some of my heritage running through me.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All large organisms lose cells as they move through their environment. He went on to say, new genomic technology is sensitive enough to pick this up, and we can use comparisons to databases that span the majority of known living things. If there was anything unusual in the lock, these DNA tools would be likely to pick up that evidence.
That sounds good to me. That's science, baby. Science.
I just don't want to know what else is in there. Nessie researcher, 54-year-old Roland Watson, said he was not aware of anyone doing a DNA test before, so he got a little scared. But he added there are some monster supporters that would not care about the result because they believe it is something paranormal, so it wouldn't expect to see any DNA whatsoever. So there.
Okay.
Naturalist Adrian Shine is the leader of the Loch Ness Project and has carried out fieldwork on the loch for a host of universities and researchers since 1973. He said he and his team could potentially help gather samples for the study. He's more than willing. He said, I would be very interested in the results. We would certainly be able to help get samples. Steve Feltham has spent 26 years trying to solve the mystery from his base on the shores of the loch. He said, if anyone thinks they can identify it, bring them on.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's how you testing. That's science.
I just don't want to get any Loch Ness on me.
I've seen the inside of your car. I'd be more worried about what you get in your car.
But at least I know where that's
Loch
been.
Ness.
Anything that gives us more knowledge is to be welcomed, he said. Steve also said that he wouldn't give up his hunt even if the study suggested there was nothing there. He said, I can guarantee you someone would see something the next day. Doris, Community Council Chairwoman Ella McRae, said that she would be interested in the study, but said the results won't change the popularity of the myth. She said the mystery will still be spoken about in decades to come when this study is done. I don't think they will ever get to the bottom of it, she was quoted as saying.
I wonder what kind of idiot's going to go out and grab like you know, water from a tank at a whale exhibit or something and pour it in there just to mess with the guy. That's a bizarre deal.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what kind of DNA people are going to throw in the lock just to see if they can throw off scientists.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Where else are we going?
We go from strange to stranger to scarier. Paranormal investigators are being called to the Isle of Wight's Jimi Hendrix statue.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're analyzing mysterious activity around the famous Hendrix statue on the Isle of Wight. Mm-hmm. Hendrix's last ever UK performance took place at the Isle of Wight Festival in 1970. And the bronze statue located at the island's, I believe it's Dimbola Museum and Galleries Garden, was erected in 2006. Islander Joe Hayden said he heard music coming from the area around the statue, and TV show Most Haunted had been contacted about it. Barely a night goes by when we aren't serenaded by the spirit of Jimmy and his famed guitar, he said. Just as I nod off, it starts. If it's not purple haze, it's all along the watchtower in all their psychedelic glory. Huh. It's just not somebody with this MP3 player. The performance might only last a few minutes because that's all the MP3 goes for. But other nights it goes until dawn.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy jamming.
Because somebody charged their iPod.
Jimmy jamming, Tim.
No, it's Jimi Hendrix, Dave.
But he's jamming. Jamming all night long.
Not Jimmy Jam. That's
Jimmy Jam.
Terry Lewis.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Bob Marley, Dave.
I know, but Jimmy liked him, so I'm sure he'd probably sing a couple of Marley tunes.
I think those are different eras.
What? So? They're both 70s. Yeah, I'm right. Look it up. Google.
Jimi Hendrix was dead in 1970, Dave.
Huh? What's your point?
It's not particularly scary, but after a few nights of no sleep, it does get frustrating for the man. He said, I'm not a real believer in ghosts, but this makes you really think. It was a really weird experience, and it freaked me out a bit because evidently he doesn't like rock and roll. I don't know.
I don't think that's it. It's the sound of a ghostly guitar
jam. He hates those hippies. They scare the crap out of him, Dave. Hippies. Apparently, Most Haunted has been contacted and are keen to come down to the island and find out what's going on. Amateur Ghostbuster Flora Pilo from Freshwater said she hoped to capture a spine-tingling performance from Hendrix. It was an iPod.
Mm.
She packed a camera and recording equipment and spent three nights camped at the foot of the statue. See, like that, it was an iPod. Yeah. 49-year-old Flora said, I sat shivering in my sleeping bag. It probably sounded a lot like that because it was an iPod. Praying that Jimmy would put on a show, but nothing happened. Probably because you forgot your iPod.
You're so cynical.
I eventually gave
up. It's a ghost.
She didn't hear anything, though. She went there and didn't hear anything. She said, I eventually gave up and went home for some much-needed rest. Jimmy don't perform on command. You got to bring money, son.
That's right.
My head had barely touched the pillow when I was woken by the sound of Jimmy playing Voodoo Child. It was like he was laughing at me. He probably was.
Voodoo Child!
Silly white woman. Well-known island ghost hunter Mark Tuckey, that's a nice name, is keen to organize a tour of the Dimbola site. Mark, who runs tour company The Isle of Wight Ghost Experience. Well, that's mighty bold of him. What if you never see a ghost?
Well. That's the experience. You do or you don't.
Said, I've been hearing tales of these Hendrix performances for several weeks. I would love to experience one of his shows for myself. But he didn't bring the iPod. The West White area of the island is renowned for worldwide for its ghosts, spirits, poltergeists, and apparitions. He's quoted as saying Jimmy will have plenty of company and could easily look at forming a supernatural band from the many wild pirates and smugglers who frequent the area.
Uh-huh.
Because pirates and smugglers are known for their rhythm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We aren't nicknamed Ghost Island without a good reason. I am led to believe that ancient ley lines, invisible energy lines, which surround the whole globe, converge on the island in a similar way as they do at Stonehenge. Whether this is a factor or not, I don't know. It's a special place, the Isle of Wight, and I'm not surprised that Jimmy feels at home here, he was quoted as saying. Aw.
That wasn't that scary. I gotta be honest with you.
Well,
you promised scariest.
Oh, Dave, I'm ready.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah.
You're about to deliver scariest?
You want
scarier or scariest?
Well, I thought that was scarier, was Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, that was just scary.
Oh, okay. I didn't find it very scary.
Scary because people can't figure out that it was an iPod
it's
playing
not
in the
an
background.
IPod. People would figure that out. All right, what's this one?
Dave.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Doom, 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 doom.
We go to scarier.
Doom, 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 doom.
Elon Musk.
That's not scary.
I'm not
finished. It's a hell of a cologne, though.
No, it's not. It's a guy.
Oh.
SpaceX.
Oh.
Elon Musk.
Why are you calling me a SpaceX? Jeez.
I'm not calling you a SpaceX. I'm saying the guy who's in charge of SpaceX, Elon Musk.
Oh.
The guy who wants to put solar panels all over your roof.
Well,
the guy
makes
who
sense.
Wants to shut down big coal. How are we going to have jobs without big coal, Dave?
Yeah. What?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm riffing here. I'm riffing. I hope you got a couple of bucks in your pocket for that.
I do. Go ahead.
The SpaceX CEO has launched Neuralink, a new company which aims to merge humans with computers.
What?
The ambitious endeavor will seek to directly connect the human brain to a computer through something known as a neural face.
Or a Skynet.
I'm sorry, it's neural lace, not face. Neural face is something that Lady Gaga will be singing when your neural lace is hooked up. How do you like that?
I don't get it.
A technology that can be woven into the brain to help enhance the functionality as well as facilitate direct communication with nearby devices. By the way, I saw Ghost in the Shell. That movie will scare the hell out of you.
Really? That just looks stupid to me. Looked like Black Widow anime style.
No. Mm-hmm. It's all about enhancing yourself with technology. That'll scare the hell out of you.
All right.
Brain-computer interfaces are not a new thing. However, those that exist already are relatively slow and limited in what they can achieve, Dave. Oh. If Musk succeeds, and God help us, if he succeeds, it could open the door for a more seamless integration between humans and machines, Dave.
Yeesh.
We don't want that.
Well, speak for yourself.
Really? You want to be a machine?
Why not?
I don't.
Just think of how much healthier I'd feel.
Then you get hacked, like in Ghost in the Shell, Dave. Oh. And if we get hacked.
Nice. Spoiler alert. Jeez.
I'm just saying.
What does he want to do? He wants to neural net us, is basically it.
Yeah, neural lace.
Hook us with a computer. I wouldn't be against it.
Then you know what happens?
What?
I'm going to tell you what happens.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to set up your worst nightmare. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
You get hooked up with a neural lace.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, somebody hacks you, Dave Schrader. Somebody hacks you.
Okay.
And then they put it in your head. Tom Petty, Stevie Nicks, Neural Leather and Lace. And it's in your head, Dave, all the time. Leather and Lace, that damn song is in your head, and you can't get it out. You know why? Because you've been hacked.
Oh, okay. Seems like that's kind of the least scary thing that could happen to me.
I don't want that song in my head forever.
It's not. You just said it had happened to me. You'll be the rebels. You'll be the ones out there fighting it. Meanwhile, I'll be giving in to the man.
Really?
Getting my pistons changed and stuff.
You want that fake...
Yeah.
Bob Dylan guy and Stevie Nicks singing in your song
okay
all day
it.
Long.
I'm okay with it.
I don't want it. Over time, I think we'll probably see a close merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. Elon Musk was quoted as saying previously, it's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and the digital version of yourself, particularly output. Exactly what Neuralink's neural lace technology will be able to achieve remains unclear. Probably...
See, you guys, they're talking like a Pentium processor world, and I've got an AOL dial-up kind of brain, Tim, so it's not going to work real well. Lots of beep, 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 beep. Yeah. That's what'll be going on in my noggin. I won't even hear Tom Petty.
Did you hear that sound with that last sound effect you did? There was a bunch of people turning off their files.
I think if they've made it this far, they're good.
It seems that transhumanism, the process of enhancing humanity's capabilities through the use of science and technology, is here to stay, Dave. It's here to stay! That scares the hell out of me. I don't want to be a machine.
Too late.
What?
You're part of the machine already, man.
What?
Swallow the blue pill.
No.
All right, what's your final story for us?
This one I figured you would enjoy.
Okay.
Shout out to my boy Spider Baby. I'll see you on Saturday at IWI. Spiders could theoretically eat every human on Earth in 1 year.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. You ready for this?
No.
The crushing...
I don't want to be eaten in a year. I'd rather be... See, that's why I want to be neural-laced, so I'm part of a computer. Spiders won't eat a computer.
No, they love computers.
Nope, not true.
That's true. Nope. It's in the story. They love computers. They find them tasty. The crushing weight of spiders. The world's spider population weighs 29 million tons, Dave, as much as 478 Titanics, but they ain't going down, son.
Oof.
They ain't going down. Spiders are quite literally all around us. Think about it for a second, folks. I want this to sink in with just real quick. Think about it. All around you, 29 tons. 29 million tons. I'm sorry,
not any.
Right now, there's one under your chair.
Nope, there's not. Yeah. I can see it under my
chair. Crawling up your chair.
Nope.
It's going up your pant leg right now.
Not getting in my head.
A recent entomological survey, that was a big word for me.
Right now, there are listeners itching and twitching because they can feel,
yeah, you feel
the
it?
Brain twitch spider you just put into their thoughts.
Yep, it's crawling up your leg. Of North Carolina homes turned up spiders in 100% of them, including 68% of bathrooms and more than three quarters of bedrooms. That's in North Carolina alone, Dave.
There's a reason not to visit North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. There's a good chance at least one spider is staring at you right now.
What?
Sizing you up.
Stop it.
From a darkened corner of the room. Eight eyes. Eight of them glistening in the shadows. Looking at you right now. Spiders mostly eat insects, so you may think you're safe. Although, some of the larger species have been known to snack on lizards, birds, and even small mammals.
Uh-huh.
So you better be 5'11" or taller.
That's not good for a lot of people.
Given their abundance and voraciousness of their appetites, two European biologists recently wondered, if you were to tally up all the food eaten by the world's entire spider population in a single year, how much would it be? Martin Neifler and Klaus Berghofer, two guys who probably haven't seen any action in the last couple of years, published their estimate in the Journal of Science of Nature earlier this month, and the number they arrived at is frankly shocking. The world's spiders consume somewhere between 400 million and 800 million tons of prey in any given year.
Yikes.
That means the spiders eat at least as much meat in all 7 billion as all 7 billion humans on the planet combined. They eat as much meat as all of us, Dave.
Wow.
Who the authors know consume about 400 million tons of meat and fish a year. That's how much humans eat.
Huh.
Or for a slightly more disturbing comparison, the total biomass of all adult humans on Earth is estimated to be 287 million tons. Even if you tack on another 70 million-ish tons to account for the weight of kids, that's right, kids, you're not safe. Spiders are going to eat you. It's still not equal to the total amount of food eaten by spiders given in a given year, exceeding the total weight of humanity. In other words, spiders could eat all of us and still be hungry.
If that's true, why haven't species disappeared because of spider reclamation?
They're all on Fen-Phen.
Could be. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That's right. Yeah. To arrive at this number, Neifler and Berghofer did a little sophisticated estimation based on existing research into, A, how many spiders live in a square meter of land for all of the main habitat types on Earth, and B, the average amount of food consumed by spiders of different sizes in a given year. These numbers yielded the most interesting factoids on their own. For instance, one study estimated that global average spider density stands at about 131 spiders per square meter. 131.
That's no good.
Some habitats, like deserts and tundra, are home to fewer spiders. That's where you want to move.
That's where all the snakes are.
On the other hand, spider densities of 1,000 or more individuals per square meter have been observed under certain favorable conditions. Since Neifler and Berghofer don't define what favorable means in this context, nobody is safe.
Ding, 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 ding.
We're going to think it's dark, dusty ding, ding, places, ding, ding, ding. Like the area under your bed. How's that for a visual?
Yep, I'm out.
If you gathered up all the spiders on the planet, place them on a very large scale together, they would weigh about 25 million tons. For comparison, the Titanic weighed about 52,000 tons. The mass of every spider on Earth today, in other words, is equivalent to 478 Titanics.
Wow.
Spider biologists also have generally found that spiders consume approximately 10% of their body weight in food a day. That's equivalent to 200-pound man eating 20 pounds of meat each day.
So that's pretty normal.
So spiders eat a lot.
Yeah, almost as much as me.
In the end, spiders' voracity actually works out to mankind's benefit, since they primarily feast on bugs. Their hunger means fewer pests in the garden, fewer mosquitoes in the yard, and fewer flies in the house.
See, they're friends. They're friends to the end, Tim.
So you don't want to kill them, Dave, until they're looking directly at you. And that is all I have Good news.
Well, let's take a deep breath, and it's time to turn over to ParaShare. All right, let's go back into the emails, Tim. Brian Carlson sends us an email here. He says, "Hey, guys, I'd written Tim prior to give a shout-out of support for the podcast. As a native from the Twin Cities living in Asia, I always enjoy your radio program. Listen since 2012. Really enjoy the new podcast format, Beyond the Darkness. I've also loved the technology allows me to listen regularly from halfway across the world. And now in podcast form, I never miss an episode. I mentioned to Tim I had some paranormal stories of my own, and he encouraged me to share them. I therefore jotted them down, boiling them into two separate stories, complete with paragraph breaks." Holy cow, Tim!
Well, you know.
This guy is just too good to be true.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Brian C., here we go. Story one. In the lore of my family, one figure has always stood out, my maternal grandfather. To my mind, he has always been a shadowy, enigmatic figure. Growing up in the 70s, my mother always filled us with stories of her dad, a photographer, a mechanic, a World War II vet, and unfortunately, the victim of a heart attack at only 41 years old back in 1955. While he sounded like a man of many talents, I was never shown a picture of him, and since my grandmother had remarried, never felt comfortable asking. One of the main venues that always produced stories of my grandfather was going to the cabin my grandparents had purchased. It was about 1 hour north of the Twin Cities, but in the early mid-70s was still fairly remote with woods and dirt roads. The cabin itself was small with two bedrooms. During the summer, my mom, sister, and I would stay for an extended visit with lots of fishing, sun, and fun. The sleeping arrangements had me as the only boy on an old army cot along the wall of the second bedroom with my mom and sister in the same room, but a larger double bed across the room. I was told that this cot was my grandfather's old army cot, which never struck one way or another as scary. It was comfortable, and that was good enough for me. Well, one day I was playing in the dirt some distance from the cabin and doing what boys do, digging ditches, playing army. As I scratched at the dirt with a rock, I heard a distinctive clink. I scratched away at the dirt and pulled out a small pocket knife, which by its look had been buried for some time. Fascinated, I ran back to the cabin. Rushing in, I shouted to my mom and grandma, "Look what I found," handing it to my mother. She gave it a quizzical look that betrayed some distant memory. However, when she handed it to my grandmother, she turned white. "Oh my God," she said. "Where did you find this?" I pointed to a spot in the property in a field, and she just sighed and walked away. For a long time, she wouldn't give it back to me or say anything further. Finally, at dinner that night, she said she wanted to share something. She said that another of my grandfather's talents was making knives. Further, that he always etched a distinctive mark on his work. While she couldn't understand how his knife came to be buried so far off the property, it was clearly his work. At the tender age of 11, I didn't appreciate the irony and just wanted the knife, so smiled as she finished telling her tale and handed me the knife. That night I lay in my cot, exhausted from a long day of play and happy about finding a new treasure, which I was required to keep in kitchen. Now, due to the location of the cabin and lack for any real outdoor lighting or indoor night lights or alarm clocks, the nights were dark, the kind of dark where you can't see a hand in front of your face. It was in this darkness that I drifted off to sleep. In my normal position, on my stomach, left hand under my pillow and the right laying at my side. At some point in the night, I jolted awake to what I thought was someone calling my name. "Mom?" I whispered into the darkness. Nothing. Shrugging it off, I laid my head back on the pillow, still in my sleeping position. At that point, I felt a surge of chills up and down my entire body, like nothing I'd ever felt before. I shuddered, snuggled further into my covers, when suddenly I felt something on my hand under the pillow. It took a moment, but suddenly became clear that a hand was beginning to clasp on my own hand, which was under the pillow. I froze, still covered in chills, feeling this hand grasp my hand and tug slightly. Now, fully awake, I first assumed I had inadvertently slept on my other arm and caused it to go to sleep, thinking I was probably clasping my own hands. I began to move my right arm and hand. To my horror, I felt my right arm and hand move at my side, and it wasn't asleep. I turned fully on my stomach and slowly reached my right arm and hand under the pillow to my left hand, and which was still grasped by an unseen hand. I tried to pull my left hand away, but could not. The grip was strong. As my right hand made its way to my left, I clearly felt a large hand, large, at least to my 11-year-old perspective. I felt the fingers and counted 1, 2, 3, 4, and a thumb. My right hand followed the arm down to note it included a wrist and arm, which led down under the cot.
Mm.
Oh, no, 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 no. It was at that point that my shriek of terror broke the darkness. I jolted full upright in my cot, my shriek and movement pulling my left hand free. I stumbled in the darkness to the light switch and popped it on. I had expected to see my sister under the cot, thinking it was funny to play a prank on me. As the light filled the room, my eyes blinked, and there was my mom and sister laying half asleep on their bed across the room. Yelling, I jumped on their bed and grabbed their hands, feeling to determine if one of them had played a prank on me. Being near my age, my sister's hand was clearly small and not the same. My mother's hand, also being small, was no match. As my mother and sister asked me what was going on, I made my way back to the cot and slowly bent down to look underneath. Lifting the covers off the floor, heart pounding out of my chest, I dropped my head quickly and looked. Nothing. I shared my story with my mom and sister, who shrugged it off as a dream. I begged to be allowed to sleep in their bed the rest of the night. My request was declined, and I was ordered back to bed. Hitting the lights and crawling back into the cot, terrified, I curled up into the fetal position and finally drifted off to sleep. To this day, I have no clear explanation as to what happened and still get chills when relaying this tale. The cabin itself, along with the cot, were sold several years later when my grandmother passed away. The knife I've long since lost, but the feeling of that hand I've never forgotten to this day. 40 years later, I still sleep in a fetal position. Could you imagine feeling a hand? That'd be weird. But then realizing that the arm that it's attached to is under, you know, the arm is coming up from under your cot.
Hmm.
Well, first of all, what kind of cojones does the kid have that he went back over and flipped the blanket up to see what was underneath the cot? There's no effing way at that age I would have made that. I'd have been like, Mom, I'm sleeping with you. Whether you lie, I'd have slept under Mom's bed before I'd have gone back on the cot where a hand grabbed me. Bonkers.
Yeah.
He's got another tale. I don't know. I want to read that when my ass is still puckered from the first. Some years ago, my wife received a work assignment in Asia, which moved our family to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. At an aside, we live not far from the noted haunted location of Jalan Bukit Tengku, the road supposedly haunted by a ghost motorcycle rider. But this story is not about the ghost rider or even Malaysia, rather Thailand. You see, because of our location in Malaysia and proximity to Bangkok, Thailand, I was called upon to contract work in the city. These stints of contract work kept me in Bangkok for weeks at a time. While in the city, I stayed at the same hotel in the heart of Bangkok. Before proceeding, and for full disclosure, I should say since a young age, 11, when I had experienced of being grabbed by a bodiless hand, I began to see things. Many nights, I would wake up in my attic bedroom to find someone standing over my bed, staring at me. Always the face was obscured. And when someone standing over my bed, they were shining a light in my face. No words were ever spoken. And after closing my eyes for what seemed like forever, the visage would disappear. At other times, I would wake up to find someone walking around my room, looking through my closet or wandering the room's interior perimeter. Again, after closing and reopening my eyes, they would just simply disappear. When relaying this to my mother, she told me that my father had the exact same experience as a young boy. Further, like me, he had an attic bedroom. Unfortunately, my parents had divorced, and I was too afraid to ask my dad. Regardless, this drove me to read and educate myself on the subject. I devoured authors such as Hans Holzer and became to believe I was not powerless. From then onward, if I woke to someone at my door or in my bedroom, I would tell them, eyes wide open, to go away. The ones in my room would look at me and disappear, while the one, who always appeared to be at the same entity, with the flashlight over my bed, would turn and climb out the window, which was closed. Oh, good times, he says. Oh, no, 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 Tim. Mm-mm. You wake up and there's a guy with a flashlight in your face, and you tell him to go away, and he walks over and climbs out your window? I would be nailing that window shut, laying barbed wire and broken glass all over the floor under that window.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I want to read this anymore, Tim.
Why?
I got to sleep tonight and tomorrow night.
Well,
Yeah.
Thank God for my Casper bed. That'll take away my pains and aches and at least help me rest a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, boy, dude, this is blah, 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 blah. Did you get that?
I did get that. Blah, yeah. Blah, 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 I don't know how to spell it, but I got it.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Into adulthood, I continued to see things here and there. Nothing more happened in my bedrooms other than the ghostly rhythmic creaking of the mattress springs now and again. Okay, sorry, couldn't help it. Until Malaysia, when there was a man who would sit on the side of our master bedroom's tub. Always, he'd just sit there with this glass window allowing a view straight to our bed. I never felt comfortable there. I'd tell him to go away, but back again he would come the next night. Therefore, with work allowing me trips to Bangkok, I was happy to escape the ghostly old bathtub perv as I began to describe him to my wife. Oh, good. So you're leaving the house and leaving your wife at home with bathtub perv. Wasn't that your rapper name in the 80s?
It was, yes. Yeah. I had 3 gold records under that name.
Very nice. Yeah. With his background, I was busy with my Thailand work, having the worst rush hour traffic in the world. The drive from plant to my hotel was long, sometimes hours. My typical day was out early and back at the hotel by 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. No time for play. Those were the weekends and meant another horror story in their own right. One particularly hard day, I'd gone to bed as soon as hitting the hotel. About 2 a.m., I woke to the sound of rattling, Tim. Rattling. Assuming it was the air conditioner or a room upstairs, I trained my ears. The noise was awfully close. Lifting my head to triangulate, I saw an old man standing at my hotel door. He was just on the inside, facing the door, reaching up and rattling the long V-shaped door hinge at the top of the door jamb. He had on long pants, thank God, a hat. Okay, that's what he wrote in here. I'm just reading it as is. A hat and coat that went down to his knees. I yelled, "Hey! What the hell are you doing?" Ever so slowly, he stopped with the door hinge, dropped his arms to his side, and turned his head slowly to look at me. He stared for what felt like minutes, but could have been no longer than a minute. My body was covered in goosebumps as he stared. He was an older Caucasian man, and I felt a sadness around him, which, just the same, did not preclude the fact that he scared the hell out of me. As he just stared at one another, I said, "Get the hell out of here. I'm trying to sleep." He nodded. Actually, freaking nodded and poof, disappeared. Aside from bits of fecal and urine in my bed, I managed to sleep the balance of the night. The next morning, I told the Thai hotel desk woman about the experience. She said, "Ah, you have the ghost room." To which I replied, "Not anymore, I don't. Please move me." That was 2 years ago. Since then, we'd moved to Thailand, and as such, I was looking for full-time work. During an interview for my current job, I was speaking with the CEO of the company. He's Thai, and when in country, you learn that the Thai Buddhist culture is rife with ghost stories, from temples to TV shows to curses and black magic. Since his company uses this hotel frequently, and given the nature of the culture, I relayed my ghost story to him. Without flinching, he told me he was aware of the ghost through stories, but had never met anyone who'd seen him. He said the story of the ghost is as follow. An older Australian man and his wife were at the hotel for vacation. At some point, Mrs. Australian caught Mr. Australian with his hand in the Thai female cookie jar. In the Thai female cookie jar.
That was actually.
That sounds like a sexual position.
That was actually Bathtub Perv's first gold record.
Good God.
Hand in the Thai cookie jar.
Thai female cookie jar.
Yeah.
She went nuts gathering up their passports, cash, valuables, tickets, etc., and left. Returning to Australia, depressed, despondent, and with no resources, he went back to the hotel and told them he'd forgotten something in his room. They allowed him re-entry, at which point he closed the door to his room, took off his belt, rigging it over the door hinge, and hung himself. Hope you enjoy the stories. That comes from Brian C. Oh, yeah, I enjoyed them, Brian. Those are creepy. Man, his hand caught in the old Thai cookie jar, Tim.
Thai.
Yeah. Sounds like almost like a torture device, doesn't it?
It does.
You will come forward and put your hand into the Thai cookie jar.
Whether you get it back, it's a whole nother deal.
Mm.
Yeah.
I listened to your near-death podcast. This is the next email.
Okay.
And claim to have 4 or so journeys into the dark void of the plane between life and death. The first time I drifted to the black void, I felt terrified that I needed food, water, warmth, and air. My overwhelming horror released me back to the world I so dependently learned to know and love. I came out of it and woke up. Much later, I went back in again, and this time began to understand and realize I was a sphere of conscious light without orientation, no up, no down, no back, no forth, or distance, and time was nothing. The third entry, I was no longer afraid and came to the conscious realization the weight of the world was lifted and nothing mattered. And although I had a conscious form, I could not see it. Just imagine it. It was comforting and blissful with no anticipations or worry. It was free of the relentless bonds that kept me locked in a physical state. I don't believe in a God, but would point myself out as agnostic with Gnostic awareness. I strongly feel I've been here before. I know the game and must use my physical mind to work my way through this life sentence. If there's one thing I learned, this place is not a place for mistakes, for it's easy to fall and become entangled in further agony serving another occurrence of one of life sentences. I have come to a simple conclusion. It all comes to this: how much you can take, how far you can take it before going crazy. The fourth entry went like this. I dissipated from the physical state into a calm darkness where I was alone in the infinite void, and I observed nothing but darkness with no wants, sound, or feeling. I still had no sense of orientation, and I still consciously knew I was in my own sphere of light. Then something changed, and a powerful glowing light came around in view, and I could see it was a vast distance from me, and in the light I could see tiny specks of light traveling in and out of the sphere. So was I coming or going? I didn't know, because like the three times before, I woke up in my bed, my hands and feet tingling. In this life sentence, I have a sense of knowing things, and I must be vigilant in my time here. I have the powerful intuition one must be on guard, for it can all be taken away. And the reality here is another more severe life sentence can be issued. Well, this is bleak and dark and scary as hell.
A little bit.
My entire life has been one of mysteries on all sides. I have a story to tell when my release date arrives, when I walk in on the darkness and that disembodied voice goes, "How does thy judge thee?" I'll simply say, I lived my life sentence. That, what if it's like the episode of Star Trek Voyager called Coda? You had me until Voyager. Sorry, my friend Gigu Shadow. No, that's interesting, but four times. Oh, here's something exciting, Tim.
Okay.
A black-eyed kid encounter.
Ooh.
A brand new black-eyed kid encounter. Should I read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're asking me to keep it for a theater of the mind. Should I keep it for theater of the mind, or should I use it now and reflect back upon it at another time? People love black-eyed kid stories. What kind of jerk would I be to not give it to them, Tim? But again, it would be better to give it fully fleshed out with the magic that you give and inject into those theaters of the mind. But people want it now, but it could be better later. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We'll keep it for theater of the mind.
All right.
Hello, Dave and Tim. Love you both. Been listening for years. I've never had a great story to send you guys for Parashare, but recently was hanging out with my best friend David, and he shared an incredible experience that I knew I had to send in. I took all the details he shared with me after he agreed to let me turn it into a shorter, kind of long narrative on his behalf. I'm excited to share, so enjoy. Oh, this might be another that we keep for a theater of the morning.
Oh, look at you. No, holding
we'll,
back.
We'll read it. If it's good, we'll put it away and we'll come back to it later.
Tease.
No, I mean, we'll read it now.
Oh, okay.
And if it's a good one, we'll throw it into a folder, and then we can always flesh it out for a true crime or
I got theater of the mind.
Yeah. All right. Gosh. I was living in Tucson, Arizona. That's Tucson to you and me, Tim.
Okay.
In a small 100 square foot apartment in a cool area downtown near some railroad tracks. After 2 years living there, I made a huge life decision to pick up and move to Phoenix to attend culinary school. I planned the hell out of this move and began getting my things in order about a month before I was going to leave. What felt like immediately after I committed to my decision to move, things started to get strange. A wood board in the floor about 2 inches across and 2 feet long came loose by my front door inside my apartment. The board fell into a room below, leaving a hole in my floor. Now, I lived on the first floor, and there was actually a basement directly under my apartment, the same size, just about. Basements are unusual for Arizona, but this was a very old building, over 120 years old, and used to house railroad workers. As I looked into the hole, I saw nothing but darkness. I couldn't see the bottom of the basement below. At this point, I realized the way the basement was laid out, this space beneath the hole was not a part of the basement I had seen before. Each apartment unit had its own basement, so I used it for storage. In my basement, there was a cinder block wall built up, separating the storage area from the space that the hole in my floor was directly above. The only indication that something was behind that wall was a crack in the top corner of the wall, like a vent, and cold air flowed out of it. I had no idea what was behind that wall, but I was living directly above it. There was cold air coming from the hole in my floor, and I didn't know when the landlord could come to fix it. So I just took a large ceramic platter dish from the kitchen and placed it on top. I thought, whatever, I just want to cover this thing. Then I woke up in the morning. The platter had been moved. It was now placed next to the hole, which was now exposed, and my room felt so cold. I lived in Tucson. Why the hell was my room so cold? And how did the platter move? I mean, it's pretty solid, heavy platter. I wouldn't just move that far during the night. I was starting to get creeped out. Starting to get creeped out?
Oh, yeah.
You wake up and a huge platter's been moved from in front of the hole? Yeah, I wouldn't just start. I would fully be in effect of freaked out, Tim. I peered into the hole again. Seeing no bottom, I dropped a paperclip through the opening. I heard nothing. Saw nothing. Weird. I was so creeped out, I called some friends to come over, and we dropped pennies through the hole. No sound. Not even pennies hitting rock bottom. Not even pennies hitting pennies. There was nothing. Is this guy not on a fucking flashlight, Tim?
A candle? Something?
Every phone's got a flashlight on the back.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you come over with a handful of pennies?
Yeah.
I got an experiment.
Sure.
I got this hole in the floor. Got to find out where it goes, but I need pennies and I need them stat. How about if I bring a flashlight? No.
No.
I need pennies, Tim.
Okay.
Pennies.
All right. So, happen to have a flashlight too.
No, I just need pennies, Tim. What part of pennies do you not understand?
Okay.
Oh, here's a thought. Hmm. What if all the pennies he was dropping are the ones that fall out of the sky in other places around the world? When you're just sitting there and like you don't have any pennies, and then you turn around, there's a penny on the counter.
They're a port of pennies.
This guy's popping pennies into the void, and they're ping, 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 falling in all over around the world.
Right. He's the reason.
All around the world. People getting pennies.
Really, you had to bring Smash Mouth up?
That wasn't Smash Mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry, Spanish Fly or whatever Spanish they were. Fly. Yeah, no, Mark McGrath and Spanish Fly. Those guys.
He has a lisp in that song.
He does.
Yeah.
I just want to fly.
All right.
Spanish Fly.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So just to remind you where we were, I peered into the hole again, seeing no bottom. I dropped a paperclip. I heard nothing, saw nothing. Weird. I was so creeped out, I called friends to come over. And we dropped pennies through the hole.
It's better than throwing dollars at strippers, I guess.
You know, they played Dungeons and Dragons when they were done, don't you?
Yeah. I want to be the wizard.
I used to play Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. It's not so funny. Yeah. It took a month for my landlord to fix the hole in the floor. Finally. I didn't sleep well the whole month, just waiting to get out of there and start my new life in a new city. While I was packing up and getting the move going, wouldn't you have just like flipped your table upside down on the hole? If I was that worried about it, that would have been my next move. Table upside down. Of course, it's a 100 square foot room, he said. That's not a whole lot of room.
No, and on top of that, if I'm the landlord and I'm fixing it, I'm going, look, I'm rich. I got a bunch of pennies.
Some idiot been throwing pennies in this hole.
He's just good Did pennies.
Wouldn't you have asked him? Hey, what's down there?
I would have, yeah.
Did you find my pennies I dropped down there?
You want to go spelunking?
Yeah. All right. It took a month for the landlord to fix the hole in the floor. I didn't sleep well the whole month. Just waiting to get out of there and start my new life in a new city. While I was packing up and getting the move going, I went down into the basement to get my things out of storage. I walked toward the corner where the crack in the top corner of the wall was, separating me from the dark abyss beyond the wall. As I bent down to pick up a box, I felt the cold air from the vent in the wall, and the most horrific, hellish scream rang through the air. From beyond the wall, it rushed into me. I froze in place and felt like the left side of my body go completely numb and limp and cold. I felt an extreme pinch in my heart as if I had been stabbed, like something was trying to suck my soul out. Suddenly, I snapped out of it for a second and thought, get the hell out of here. I dropped the box and ran out of the basement, leaving the lights on and the door open. I jumped into my car, fumbling with my keys. It felt like a movie, and I was in slow motion, scared and completely shaken. I drove directly to a friend's house and never went back, except once to do a walkthrough with the landlord. Well, then you did go back. Stick to your story.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Choose one side or the other.
Really?
I had movers go to the apartment and pick the rest of my stuff up. I swear, another few months in that basement, or moments in that basement, and I felt like I'd have died. What's crazier is I don't believe in anything like this before it happened, but it felt so otherworldly, like I was touched from another dimension. Looking back now, I realized that over the entire month that this paranormal experience took place, other strange things occurred that at the time I just chalked up to being moving stress. Not sleeping well, my cat and dog were acting strange. The cat would pee all over the floor over the dark part of the basement, and lots of things broke. It feels like that thing, whatever it was, didn't want me to leave. I only went back to Tucson once I moved away, and while I was there, my new home in Phoenix was robbed. I love Tucson so much, but it feels wrong to ever go back there now. Thanks, guys. All the best, Jessica and David in Seattle. So we're making fun. Jessica shares her friend's story, and we end up poking fun at him.
Sorry, David.
I'm not.
It's probably lighter.
You're a flashlight loser.
He's probably lighter by 100 pennies, too.
Oh, my God. Don't you own a match?
Yeah. Shh,
throw it down. You know what I would have done? I would have lowered the cat down on a rope. If that rope just keeps going.
Well, like,
that would have been the other thing. Why not get a rope?
With a candle tied to its paw.
Yeah.
No, so wait, you'd be able to see down there. Right?
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Here,
all right. I'll tell you what, Mr. Magic.
Yeah.
Why don't we do the Black Eyed Kid story?
All right.
We're going to do it live.
Ooh.
Parashare live, Tim.
You want me to do the sound effects?
I want you to do sound effects.
Mr. Beatbox
for,
over here?
For Parashare. No, we're going to save the Black Eyed Kid for a real Parashare theater of the mind.
All right.
But how about you do the next story? You do the sound effects. Okay. Will you do that?
I'll try.
I want to hear you. You can be the Michael Winslow. Was that his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, Michael Winslow. Yeah,
from
Police Academy.
Police Academy. Yeah. You could be my sound effects guy.
All right.
Hi, Dave and Tim. My name is Kathy. I'm not well versed in supernatural, but I'm a wrestling fan.
Yay!
Found out about your show through Jericho's and Lance Storm's podcast. Who's
nice.
Lance Storm?
What?
I said, who's Lance Storm?
Oh, my God. Don't even. Kill
is this thing on?
Hold on. Hold on.
Is this thing
time
on?
Out. Time out.
Who's Lance Storm?
Don't be like that.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I really don't know who Lance Storm is.
One of the other shows on the Jericho Network is Killing the Town with Cyrus and Lance Storm. Lance Storm is a very famous wrestler and now trainer.
That's cool.
Who graduated from the Heart Dungeon in Canada.
Here's the deal, though. I'm not disingenuous about it. I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful. I just didn't know
and,
who he was. I'm not
and
familiar.
Former ECW alum and former WCW alum and WWE alum. And he's now retired and doing quite well for himself.
And his name is Lance, you said.
He has a
wrestler named Lance.
Yes, he has he's a very well-known trainer of many of the current WWE stars that you see now that are in WWE. Very good trainer, actually an excellent trainer.
Really?
And not a bad podcaster as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's quite talented.
Hold on, what the deuce? We might have a second Black Eyed Kids in college.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do my Michael Winslow
impression. I don't know what to do here. Scary. We're going to put this one away.
So in wrestling terms, Lance Storm put you over and you just buried him.
I didn't mean to. That's great. I'm very happy that he did that and he's with us.
Uh-huh.
But I just, I wasn't familiar. Lance, forgive me. Let's have you on the show and talk. You know, maybe get to know you.
A lot of wrestlers have not only paranormal experiences, but are into the paranormal.
I think what we need to do is we need to, I think it'd be all groovy how we could all come together.
We need to.
Yeah, and we should have like once a month all of the members of the Jericho family come together. It sounds like a mob. Once a month all the members of the Jericho family will come together and we will talk on these shows with one another. I think it'd be cool if we had everybody kind of come together and talk everything from wrestling to rock and roll to entertainment to the paranormal.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's make that happen.
I think
we should. Lance and I might be best friends and I won't need you anymore.
We'll call it what?
What?
We'll call it the Summit of Jericho.
Yes.
Get together, man.
I think it's so groovy how they're going to get together. I don't know.
Inside reference.
All right, we're going to skip that one. We're going to do a short one here. Mm-hmm. All right, here you go. This is a nice short one for you to sound effect for me. Ready?
Okay.
Let me try to. La, 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 la. In case I have to come up with a dark, scary voice.
All right.
We'll do this as best we can in one take.
All right.
Theater of the Mind live. Hi, Dave and Tim.
Hi.
Every year, I take my three kids, two of their spouses, and my two grandbabies on a short getaway. Last year, we rented an old California Spanish-style hacienda home in Palm Springs that once had been owned in the 1920s and 30s by Hollywood film producer and of the it was a Hollywood film producer of the old Tarzan movies. On our first day at the house, my little granddaughter Katie, who had just turned three, called my youngest son over and me to the window overlooking the front yard. Her little brows were furrowed into a quizzical look that she often has when she's trying to figure things out. Grammy, she asked.
Grammy?
Pointing out the window and grabbing my hand. Who is that man standing out there?
And why is he wearing a raincoat?
No, no, no. My son and I shot a look at each other. I don't see a man, Katie. What does he look like? I queried. She shrugged. I thought I'd hear... Just kind of like an old guy, she answered, matter-of-factly and still looking at something or someone out my window. My son asked, what's he doing, Katie? He's just looking for his glasses, she replied before picking up her teddy bear and running off to find her mom and daughter. The property was walled and gated. There were no old guys hanging around the house. No gardeners in the yard. In fact, it was stone quiet outside in the 110-degree heat. The rest of us spent the next 5 days together joking that the original owner of the house had returned and was haunting it. But really, we adults were all looking over our shoulders while we were there. Now fast forward to this year.
Biddle-doop, biddle-doop.
And we're planning our family trip, this time to Monterey Bay, California. My daughter was showing Katie, now almost four, pictures of the old home on the coast that we were going to rent in July.
Hey, look at this.
Is that man going to be on our vacation this year? Katie asked my daughter. What man? My daughter asked. Mom, Katie said, acting like the teenager that she is and clearly exasperated. The one who is looking for his glasses.
And my multi-meal.
Out of the mouths of babes. Babes, love the new show format that comes from Eileen. Right, that really didn't delve deeply into our ability to go into the sound effects.
But we tried.
Well, one more short one, and then we'll call it a night. Hey, Dave and Tim, my name is Corey. I want to start out by saying the show is awesome.
Thank you.
I'm putting that inflection on. I'm not sure that's how Corey would say it, but it makes me feel better. My story comes from when I was younger. My father passed away when I was 2 years old at the age of 29 from a brain tumor. About a year later, my mom remarried and we moved to a house in Charlotte Hall, Maryland. The house was extremely creepy. My mom would hear a baby crying and music playing coming from the linen closet. When she would open, the noises would stop. I would say I was around three at the time. I would see a man in the backyard, and I could remember him talking to me. He didn't scare me, and I felt comforted by him. He would walk up, and I would put my hand in his. My mom would look out the back and say, Corey, who are you talking to? I would reply that I was talking to the man, Mommy. So I guess one time my mom sat down with me and asked me about the man. I told her he was bald and wasn't scary and described every detail I could at that young age. I told her that he had said to me to let my mom know that I love her and everything is going to be okay. This, of course, shocked my mom. I had just described my father to a T. We still talk about it to this day. I don't see him anymore, but I believe he was with me always. I'll feel a tap on my shoulder or hear a man's voice call my name, but I'll never forget what he looked like or what he said. Thought I would share that with you guys. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Corey Dooley from Lusby, Maryland. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Corey. And thank you all for being a part of our world and sharing your stories every Monday. Remember, you can email them in to me at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. The rest of the week is looking great. True Crime Tuesday returns tomorrow. Cults inside and out, how people get in and can get out. Timothy P. Smith is with us on Wednesday. We'll be talking about the Chamberlain key, unlocking the code to reveal treasures and hidden messages in the Bible, Tim. Mm-hmm. And then later on this week, it's Disclosure, Time Travel and Teleportation Agenda. And that's Andrew Bishago, who's going to join us. Ursula Bielski wraps up the week again, and we're going to be looking at her new book that'll be coming out later this year, The Ghost in You, Poltergeists, Electrokinesis, and Phantasms of the Living. We want to thank our sponsors this evening. And this is pretty cool. We've got brand new sponsors coming on board. This is really exciting, and we want to thank all the sponsors that'll be a part of our show. BarkBox is part of our show now, and they have got a special offer for listeners of Beyond the Darkness. Go to getbarkbox.com/darkness for a free extra month of BarkBox. You can visit getbarkbox.com/darkness when you subscribe, and you'll be able to take advantage of that. Also, remember, check out Audible. You love shows like our Friday shows and our Theater of the Mind, then Audible is made for you. You can take books on the road with you everywhere you go. Today's show is brought to you by Audible, and Audible is offering a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Over 180,000 titles, rather, to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Try it out at audibletrial.com/darkness. How about that, Tim? That's a great gift for our listeners.
Yes, it is.
Free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/darkness. That's it for tonight. Remember, I'll be hosting Coast to Coast AM this Saturday from midnight till 4 a.m. You can find more information at Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie is on live tonight. His guests are Scott Stevens and John Michael Greer. They'll be doing weather control and magic techniques. That's on the best in overnight talk radio. Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.